T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number 1.
All right, the biggest story of the day here in Houston and maybe in the sports world. Per sources, Dan Graziano of ESPN, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told David Culley he has no intentions of playing for the Texans again. No change to Watson's end, and he remains in a place where he does not want to be traded. Also, Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle states that he met with him, and they met briefly in a conversation, and he says, and I quote, "I don't want to be here," to David Culley. Texans' stance on not wanting to trade him has also not changed. So the Texans are in the same place. Deshaun Watson's in the same place. Now they have met Clint. It is real now.
Not surprised one bit. I mean, not surprised one bit that Deshaun Watson's stance has not changed. He remains to be dug in. The Texans have done nothing with their actions. They have done nothing to give Deshaun reason to pause, much less change direction. I mean, you look at what the Texans have done since Deshaun Watson, whether he leaked it or he told the Texans, however it all happened, since the Texans became aware of the fact that Deshaun Watson wanted out of Houston and would threaten a holdout or be traded type situation, they've done nothing but continue down the same road of dysfunction, spiraling out of control in the wrong direction, giving power to guys that didn't deserve the power, running guys off that were mainstays in this organization, mainstays in this locker room. They said some things that may lead one to believe that, well, boy, they're really standing behind Deshaun because they're not going to trade him. But everything they've done, if you look at their actions along the way, who they've hired, how they've hired people, there's zero reason at this point in time why Deshaun Watson would change course, Joe.
None at all. And like you said, man, the ball is now in the Texans' court. And it's the part that comes to my mind is, from all the reports we hear, they're not answering any calls. They haven't answered any calls. They haven't even listened to any kind of offers for Deshaun trades because they still want to reconcile. Their Hail Mary was David Culley. That Hail Mary was gone. That Hail Mary never had a chance, Clint.
That ship never sailed.
That was never going to happen. David Culley. And I think Deshaun met with him because he does have respect for that man. But that was never going to work. And now where are they at in the process? What has to be their thought? Their thought has to be, you think they're moving towards, we know what happens. Now we got to go and make a move.
So, I have no idea what their next step is, man. But, I mean, if you're Deshaun Watson, think about that. If you're Deshaun Watson and the organization's last-ditch effort is for you to make the effort and the time to come meet with David Culley, who was coaching the receivers for the Baltimore Ravens, is passing game coordinator for the Ravens, the worst passing game in the NFL last year. And we've heard him two or three times. How do you think that meeting was going to go? I mean, it's another slap in the face. It's just they've slapped him in the face behind closed doors. Their decisions have slapped Deshaun Watson in the face time and time and time again. A meeting with David Culley is no different. This is clearly doesn't have a problem with any coach at the coaching level at this point. Clearly, it's an organizational issue. It's to Deshaun Watson, it's a waste of time to meet with David Culley, and that appears to be exactly how he viewed it. And basically, his plan was to reiterate his initial message that he wants out of Houston.
Yeah, he does. It's just crazy.
Big 3-3, number 2.
So now that we know it's been reported, multiple sources that Deshaun Watson has now met with the Texans, met with David Culley, there is no longer the point of he needs to sit down with them. Well, he has sat down with them and nothing changed. Do you now think, Clint, that the Texans are saying to themselves, we got to make a move, or do you think they are really serious about going to battle and just, as you would say, wallowing in just this dysfunction and driving this further and not get anything right now for Deshaun Watson and just call his bluff?
Well, they've done nothing to think that or have any confidence that they are going to try to get out of the state of dysfunction. They've done nothing but make it worse. And this situation is just the most recent evidence of that, right? I mean, it's I can't tell you what the Texans are going to do because I have no clue at this point in time. I can't even find reason. I don't need to agree with, but I can't find reason why they do. From Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Nick Caserio, none of them I can find rhyme or reason why they're making the decisions that they're making. I can tell you that the right thing to do has never been more obvious, and it's what I've been saying all along is they've got to be proactive in moving Deshaun Watson. They've got to be. Adam Schefter said there's 18 quarterbacks. He set the over-under at 18 quarterbacks are going to change teams this year. The Texans can't sit back like they did with the head coaching search and watch all of these quarterbacks land in different places with teams, with franchises that are quarterback needy, and then sit there with Deshaun Watson in a situation where your only option is to allow him to hold out or allow him to report and act as if he's hurt. And you don't have the opportunity to move him. You got to try to move him next year. Right? I just don't see how the Texans continue to dig their heels in on the stance that they've had to this point with the whole, we're not trading Deshaun Watson, he is our guy. Not only does it not sync up with the decisions that they're making, it doesn't sync up. It doesn't align with the decisions that they're making. But outside of that, it's bad business. It's going to continue to bury this organization. And I'll be honest with you, I have zero confidence that Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair can pull this organization out of the state of dysfunction that they're in right now, much less the unknown of where the dysfunction is going to end.
You'll be sitting here with no first or second round pick, no Deshaun, and no JJ.
And a 41-year-old quarterback, or however old Josh McCown is.
Who you want to be your
coach. I think they got $3 million in salary cap space now. I mean,
yeah. What you're saying is the right way to approach it. How I think they're going to do this, and if I had money to go to Tyler's bookie or your bookie or whoever's bookie out there, my money would be, I know Tyler's got one, my money would be, they're not trading him. They're going to play this big hog contest. They're going to put it on the table and say, let's go. It's our organization. No one told me to fire Jack, and I kept Jack because I wanted Jack to be here. And you're not good. Just the way Gordon was saying, he could sit his ass at home. He's going to miss that money. We'll call that bluff. Many people on the text line, yeah, sit his ass. That's exactly, if I was a betting man, I think that's what the Texans, Jack and Cal McNair, the decision they're going to make. I think Nick Caserio is going to try like hell to convince him otherwise because Nick Caserio doesn't want to start here without J.J. Watt.
Is he?
No, Deshaun. You're right.
I mean, is he?
He may know the plan.
He didn't try like hell to move him off of the David Culley hire. No. And again, no disrespect to David Culley.
You're right.
And I've heard people too. I've seen people on social media. Oh, we're going to give it a chance. You never know. Great coaches haven't done this and great coaches haven't done that. Look at this coach. Come on, man.
John Harbaugh had Ray Lewis in that defense.
Come on, show. I'm not going to sit here and say that it hasn't happened to where a guy that's never called plays becomes a head coach. But that guy has something about him that is unbelievable to overcome having never been a coordinator in his past to be a head coach. You got something to you, man. You got that it factor. You can get up to that, step up to that mic in a press conference setting and really, really get folks to buy in. You got that it factor. You got that next level schemer. You've got that motivation, that ability to motivate. You got something. You can't tell me. I may be dead ass wrong, but you can't tell me that from the outside looking in, you look at this David Culley hire and go, yeah, hey, y'all need to pump y'all's brakes, man. Give the guy a chance. This could be a great hire.
You're not giving him a chance. You wouldn't even let him hire his staff.
You're ignoring the fact that there were coaches available that are clearly more qualified. Whether you listen to the guy talk, you look at his resume, there were clearly more highly qualified individuals than David Culley.
But you told me yourself you didn't believe in him. You don't let him hire his own coaches.
That too.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Another move from the Texans, or at least potential move that is kind of lost in the shuffle of everything that's happened with Deshaun. According to Aaron Wilson of the Chronicle, the Texans do not plan, Clint, to designate Will Fuller as their franchise tag player, according to league sources. Now, this to me is a good move for the Texans, all right? And maybe a move for them. Maybe if you read it, Clint, maybe they're saying to themselves, maybe we understand it's not realistic that we're going to have Deshaun Watson and there's no reason for us to have Will Fuller and have that price tag.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Will Fuller is not a good option for the Texans at this point in time. Again, wrapping up $35 to $40 million in receivers with a team that has no quarterback and is going to try to rebuild makes no sense. What was Jack Easterby just as responsible for? What phrase? Tough, smart, dependable. That was Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien. Now, what about Will Fuller screams tough, smart, dependable? I like Will Fuller. I think he's a good player. I'd have him in my organization. But you got guys running this organization that all it's tough, smart, dependable, over talented, right? What about Will Fuller? It's tough. He had, I don't know if he's completed a season in his career without being
That's
injured.
That's not
right. Smart, dependable. Right,
that
went out the window when he decided to get popped for PEDs with 5 games left in the season. I mean
I think he is very smart.
I'm removing my opinions from the situation and going, how do those guys that live and die with tough, smart, dependable get to a point where they think giving Will Fuller $16 million in 1 year or 13, 14, 15 over a 3-year span guaranteed money, how do they get to a point where that's a good idea?
Without a soul to throw it to him. All right, we're continuing here. The news. Deshaun Watson met with David Culley, and it didn't change. Many of you keep texting in, the Texans just need to fire Jack Easterby. This thing has gone well past Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby is just a part of it. There is more. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
The news of the day here. Deshaun Watson has met with David Culley, the head coach of the Texans. They met last Friday. Nothing changed on either end, to be honest. The convincing in using David Culley to try to convince Deshaun to come back into the fold did not work. Deshaun reiterates that he does not want to play for the Houston Texans again and wants to be traded. 713-572-4610. This is as much of a day to hear from the people. As us, I think there was something that you spoke about earlier, Clint, that I thought was really good. You said that this was a Jack Easterby problem at first. Like, this was an Easterby problem at first that I don't think rose to a point that became so personal to Deshaun
that he would dig in his heels the way he has dug in his heels. I don't think he was happy about the Jack Easterby situation, as we heard at the end of the year, as John McClain, who has come on many times and said he was talking about Jack Easterby in his estimation when he said we've got people in this building who think they have power that shouldn't be having that power. I think there was an issue, but it seemed to expand and become more personal to Deshaun when you got the Jack Easterby situation and then the way, as you said earlier, they handled the hiring process of the GM and the head coach, especially when it comes to not interviewing some coaches or some of the coaches of color, not giving real serious interviews to like an Eric Bieniemy, the way that was handled and how everything went through where it's like, how is Robert Saleh and how is Eric Bieniemy not getting these interviews? And then the guy you do hire is David Culley, and yes, he is a black man, but doesn't even get the opportunity to hire his own staff. The entire way that occurred, many people may not like it or agree with it, but there is a way you can look at that and see how that part of it, as it started out as an Easterby thing, then it became a personal thing of things that he really believes in that stretched this thing to a place where he's willing to dig in his heels and lose money like this.
Yeah, I think there's two factors in play here. And I think the Texans, Cal McNair has made decisions to allow both factors to exist and even grow and become a bigger problem. And one is Jack Easterby, and I think one is the way that the process, the hiring process for the GM and the head coach, the way it all unfolded, allowed Bob McNair's comments, racially insensitive comments from 2017, to be brought back to life by former players on national media, which then brings to life the fact that Robert Saleh was never interviewed and your organization essentially didn't take the minority candidates that were highly qualified and legit possible hires. You didn't take those guys serious. You neglected them throughout the process. I think that's very, whether you agree with it or not, it's irrelevant, but it's very easy to see that an organization that needs a head coach, that has the first head coach opening and doesn't interview Robert Saleh and gives Eric Bieniemy 2 hours of Zoom interview, probably neglected interviewing the best candidates who happen to be men of color at this point in time. So I think it's very easy to see where that could potentially be a player in Deshaun Watson's stance. Organizations turning a blind eye to interviewing candidates that are qualified, that regardless of their background, their nationality, their ethnicity, that's a problem in this league that people are very vocal about. And I could see where Deshaun Watson says, okay, well, there's a part of a something that we can address along the way here that just happened to happen to be allowed to be brought up by the national media and made a problem in the organization. So, yeah, I think that could be a big part of it. I think the biggest part of it is Jack Easterby. I really do. And I think here's how this unfolds for Deshaun Watson, right? When the season started, Jack Easterby was a problem that I think everybody was aware of. Like, I think everybody in the building was aware of what Jack Easterby was about. He was no longer a culture coach, a character coach, culture builder, you know, staying in his lane, kind of a guy behind the scenes that's working and making everybody's life better, making everybody's job easier. You know, you sense that guy gaining power maybe when you see him off in the distance standing with the owner instead of being around the players and the coach. But you feel at that point, hey, man, we got a good team. We got a good – we won 10 games last year, 11 games last year, went to the second round of the playoffs. We can overcome that, man. We can overcome that, right? He traded DeAndre Hopkins, but that's just one little blip on the radar here. We can overcome that. I'm talented enough. We're talented enough to overcome that. Well, then Bill O'Brien gets fired and Jack Easterby doesn't. And now Jack Easterby has outlasted Bill O'Brien. And now his hands are in the day-to-day operations in the locker room. So as a player, you're watching this grow. So the dynamic changes. And then the Sports Illustrated articles come out, which you know a lot of that is already, as a player, you knew a lot of it was true from the jump. But it's you realize it's a lot worse than you probably thought, right? And then the owner and Jack Easterby are the last two in the stadium after the last game of the season. They're praying together, and the next morning they're jumping a flight without the rest of the crew, without the other decision makers, without the other figureheads. They're jumping a flight, and they're going and hiring who? Jack Easterby's guy. And as a player, you realize, boy, this dynamic has changed in a major way since I signed my contract. This has changed in a major way. So you voice your opinion shortly after the season. Maybe it was at the end of the season. Talking about needing a culture shift. You voice your opinion, and the owner has done nothing but continue to go the other direction.
Yeah, there have been very personal slaps in the face to him.
And
from
so it's
the Easterby
not a
situation, how they handled that, to how they handled the coaching search, to the coach they hired and what they allowed him to be able to hire. It was all a slap into the face when you understand what Deshaun truly, truly is passionate about.
Let me ask you this. Let me paint this picture, right? Deshaun, Lamar Jackson, and Pat Mahomes, they're all in the sales business. Three different companies, they're competitors. They're all selling this iPad I have right here, right? All three of those guys. Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, they got a nice Ford Taurus, brand new, four-door. Sell them jokers out of. They got a nice iPhone, right? They got laptops. They got an assistant back in the office, help them do their job, right? Right now, to start out with, they're all three quality employees. They're all making this $100,000 a year, right? Deshaun Watson got a bicycle. He ain't got no phone. He ain't got no laptop. He got a bicycle. He got to go sell this iPad. And his competition has a car. His competition has an iPhone. His competition has assistants. Deshaun, he's good now. He's good, but he's got a bicycle. Guess what Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are going to be doing 5 years from now, making five times the money, still in the same line of business, probably with the same company, crushing it. Guess what Deshaun Watson's going to do with that bicycle? May have done well. Best case scenario, he's going to be making the same amount of money, working his ass off to win games, win sales. How long are you going to do that? How long are you going to do that when the competition around you says, hey, man, we'll give you a car. And hey, man, we'll give you an iPhone. We'll give you a computer. And, come over here and sell for us, man.
And your company is not being upfront with you about things that are going on and why the sales are struggling. And the name of the game, which is sales, isn't the number one priority for your company
right, like
it is for those other
two. That's it. I mean, but that's the nuts and bolts, the very vanilla elementary way or why behind Deshaun Watson's doing what he's doing. What's going on in this organization you can't win with. You can't win with a locker room that doesn't trust the organization. You can't win with decisions being made to ship out DeAndre Hopkins and get peanuts in return.
Cannot play with him.
Can't win with him. It's just impossible, show. I mean, ultimately, these folks that call in and go, shut up and play, you're under contract, you signed the contract. No, man. When he agreed to start this sales job with this company, man, he had a car. He had an iPhone. Man, they done took that car and that iPhone from him. He got a bicycle, and he got to go out there and try to survive and make a living and get the next contract. And at the end of the year, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson, they all go to a national sales convention. They hand out awards. And Deshaun's got to sit there and watch Pat get his award, his trophy, leading. He's big number one sales guy in the company. Knowing the whole time he's riding that bicycle and Pat got that Ford, that brand new Ford Taurus, which he turns in. D&M Auto Leasing, Ford Taurus. He changes it in every year.
I really slipped that in.
Yep.
That was beautiful.
I mean, how long if you're – I'm serious question, though. How long if you're Deshaun Watson, are you going to sit there and ride that bike around trying to sell before you say – hey, I could sit here and make pretty good money. But the
thing is, he was willing to. He was willing to ride around. I mean, he was willing to sit
I think when he walked out and he saw that bicycle was what he had to ride around on and try to sell, I think he said, y'all got to get me up out of here. You're done, got too bad, too damn bad.
What I'm saying, I'm going to get back to the football part. What I'm saying is he was willing to say, all right, I know it's going to take some time to build with a new head coach and a new GM and new part. Like, I knew it was going to take some time. But then you went out here and just did everything that would make you have a bicycle compared to a Corvette. And that's one of the big reasons why we're here. We'll hear from you, 713-572-4610. The big news of the day, Deshaun Watson has finally met with head coach David Culley, and nothing changed. He wants out.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Welcome back in. If you're just joining us, the news of the day, Deshaun Watson met with head coach David Culley of the Texans and reiterated that he wants to be traded and does not want to play for the Texans again. Clint, I just saw this from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. He says, the Texans remain unwilling to discuss quarterback Deshaun Watson with other teams, some of whom have resorted to just leaving voicemails with trade offers, per sources. Just leaving voicemails. The Panthers, I believe, top of the list, just leaving voicemails. This is our trade offer, dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's what smart businesses, smart franchises do, is you see an opportunity to get a franchise player, one of the top players in the game at one of the most, it's the most important position in all of professional sports. When you get an opportunity to have that guy in your organization, you do everything you can to get him there. You pay him what he wants. And then pretty simple decision, you support him by surrounding him top to bottom with the right people. And if for any reason there are people in the organization that don't see eye to eye with that particular individual, then you remove the one that has the least bit of impact on your organization and their ability to win ball games. There's not one person in that building over there, other than Cal McNair that writes the checks, that has more impact on whether the Texans win or lose on Sundays than Deshaun Watson. And also taking into consideration that this isn't your diva quarterback. This isn't a contract dispute. This isn't a quarterback that's asking for something that's anything more than just being put in a position to follow a leader, to have a foundation in the organization, have a culture in the organization, and ultimately be put in position to win ball games. That's who you're talking about. We're not talking about a guy that's lost his mind and he's asking for things that are reckless or
things that don't make sense.
Things that don't make sense. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here. That's what organizations do. So yeah, Carolina, they see an opportunity to go get a guy on and off the field that's a 10 out of 10. And they're gonna leave voicemails. They're probably gonna send recruiting letters with that Panther on the front.
You're gonna see this, damn it.
Oh, you're gonna see it.
They got a sign outside, somebody that's coming in with that sign.
Somebody's
eight.
Hey, somebody track Matt Rhule, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Somebody track their team plane.
Their owner Tepper, he's serious about this.
See if that plane's landing in Houston and see if Matt Rhule and was it Dave Tepper?
Dave Tepper.
See if they're knocking on Cal McNair's front door to try to get a job done. I guarantee you they're gonna flip every stone to get Deshaun Watson in their organization. And when they get him there, they're gonna surround him with greatness.
I do want to hear from the people here, 713-572-4610. But, Clint, I do want to get to this other news with the Texans, and those may be rolling in here, not just with Deshaun, reiterating he doesn't want to be traded, but the Texans, we talked about this week, we talked about it last week as well, the Texans plan to not use the franchise tag on Will Fuller. That is, to me, a good decision to, to make it, because it just doesn't, we've discussed, it just doesn't make a ton of sense to have that cap, that money on the books for just 1 year with Will Fuller. I think this is at least a right move today with that situation with Will Fuller for the Texans.
Yeah, I think it's the right move. Hell, I think it's the only move. I think when you're looking into leading into a rebuild situation, you having 40, 30, 35 plus million dollars wrapped up at the receiver position is silly. And really all three of them are in, to some degree, injury prone. It doesn't add up why you would do that. You would limit your ability to fix the problems, particularly on the defensive side of the football, to add another receiver that is injury prone, that is not the culture that you've committed to in the tough, smart, dependable. It's not, there's nothing there with Will Fuller that fits what Houston has committed to. I hate it because I'm one of them guys that, hey, man, as long as you're not a cancer and you're that talented,
yeah,
come on, man, we can win some ball games with you. But the way this organization is functioning, if you're not tough, smart, dependable, which I don't think Will, according to their thought, I don't think Will Fuller necessarily checks any of those three boxes at this point in time after getting popped by PEDs, it there's one reason why it doesn't make sense. The money aspect of it doesn't make sense. The Deshaun Watson, hopefully last-ditch effort to get Deshaun Watson talked off the ledge, that doesn't make sense.
That ship has been sailed.
That ship has sailed, right? I mean, so it's one of those where I don't know how anybody ever got to the point of, yeah, they're going to franchise tag him. Why? I mean, look at how this organization's made decisions. Look at the problems that exist and how that kind of cap allocated to one position, how that would handcuff their ability to fix other problems. I mean, I'm not surprised that they're not going to, their plan is, or at least the report is, that they're not going to franchise Will Fuller.
I know I get crazy thinking just regular, the way football would work. Is this something that would, to you, with the Texans, if saying they're not going to use him as a franchise, with a franchise tag, would this get you to a point to think, all right, maybe it's coming to a realization to them that they're not going to have Deshaun Watson, and why would you keep Will Fuller if you're not going to have Deshaun Watson? Do you think a move of not franchise tagging him would say to them, at least they're thinking in their head, all right, now it's time for us to move on because we don't have Deshaun and there's no reason to sign him? Because I think that would be my thought if it was a regular team.
I think it's highly likely that sure they know that they're not going to have Deshaun Watson, and therefore it's even more of a reason to not allocate that kind of cap space to the wide receiver position at this point in time, especially when you know it's going to be a 2 to 3 year rebuild with the way they're doing things right now. Hell, I'd say it's going to be longer than that. With that being the case, yeah, it doesn't make sense that Will Fuller would be with the organization. It's very easy to arrive at a place where you think, okay, the front office knows that they're gonna move on from Deshaun Watson. So how does that impact their decision with Will Fuller? Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair to assume that the Deshaun Watson dynamic definitely impacts Will Fuller being with the Texans moving forward. Yeah, that's fair.
I hope so. To me, then it feels like they're being realistic about their situation with Deshaun, if that's the case. 713-572-4610. We'd like to hear from you. Danny, I want to jump in with you. Go ahead, Danny. What's your thoughts on this Deshaun situation? Turn your radio down.
The Deshaun Watson dynamic definitely impacts Will Ford.
Danny, I'm gonna pause you. Here, let's get this straight here. And I know some of you turn on Tyler. And I know he gives great directions when he screens calls. I know he does. I've listened to him. Guys, when we get to you, come on. I don't need an introduction of how long you've been an Oilers or a Texans fan. I love it, but I don't need it. We want to get these in and out. Come in and give us your thoughts and your take, and let's get to it. All right? Be ready to go. All right? Jeff, I'm going to let you jump in here. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, thank you. The owner, Jack Easterby, is a problem, but the owner is the problem, and you're not going to get past that. The issue is he's not only lied to Deshaun, he's lied to the fans. Every time he opened his mouth, when he fired O'Brien, he said that Easterby was going back to doing what he was going to do, which was a complete lie. Then he eats dinner with Deshaun, says, hey, I want to listen to what you have to say, jumps on a plane with Easterby, hires Nick Caserio, which also Nick Caserio, I don't know who he's drafted to do so well with if they do trade Deshaun, but my whole point is whatever the craziest, wildest thing is going to be, that's what they're going to do.
All right, appreciate the call, Jeff. No, I mean, as we've said, man, there's just been multiple slaps in the face that got to this point with Deshaun, and it is just amazing to understand the makeup of Deshaun, how many slaps in the face it had to be to get here.
Well, the thing with Cal McNair is he's not his father. I mean, the thing with Cal McNair is there's clearly a weakness in some form or fashion that's allowed Jack Easterby to put Cal in a place where he feels like Jack Easterby is the right move here. And that weakness, I'm not banging on Cal McNair. I mean, we all have weaknesses, right? We all have flaws. We all have problem areas where if you're a businessman and you're an owner of a franchise, you hire hopefully good people to fill those voids in your skill set. And this guy has somehow hired Jack Easterby and allowed Jack Easterby to manipulate the situation and lead him to believe that Jack is the right way to go and Jack is pulling the strings. So while it is a major problem for Cal McNair, it's unreasonable to sit here and say, well, he's the one making the decisions. He's got a weakness. He's got a void in his skill set, so to speak, and he is leaning on the wrong person to fill that void and the wrong person to make those decisions. That individual has manipulated him into believing that this is the right direction to go. So, yes, it's McNair's problem, obviously. I mean, it's his team, right? But the one that is pulling the strings, the puppet master here, is Jack Easterby. We can talk about Cal McNair not being who his father was. We can talk about Cal McNair having weaknesses and being incompetent and not being able to navigate these processes. We talked about that till we're blue in the face, right? But if he would have hired the right people, if the right people were pulling the strings for him, the organization wouldn't be in the position that it's in right now. And so you can't fix Cal McNair's problems. You can't fix his voids in his skill set. What you hope gets fixed is the individual that is pulling the strings that's causing all of the dysfunction. Because ultimately, Jack Easterby's the one driving the ship here. And so I hear everybody with it's the Cal McNair problem and Cal built this monster, and I agree wholeheartedly. But the reality of it is Cal thinks he's doing the right thing.
Yes. It has to be. They can't keep going down this line if they don't believe
they're doing the Wolves right. Pulled over his eyes, and he thinks he's doing the right thing. Jack Easterby is somehow, some way, duped this guy, Cal McNair, into thinking that with all these decisions, with Deshaun Watson digging his heels in the way he clearly is right now, that the right thing to do is to go to the media and say, we're not taking no calls. Like, it doesn't even make sense. So the void in his skill set is what allowed this guy to get into his circle of trust, so to speak. Now he's leaned in, committed to Jack Easterby. Jack Easterby's the one making the decisions. Jack Easterby's the one.
He's got the second most power, and you could argue the most power, but he's got at least the second most power.
Yes.
In the organization, and you can see his hands all over the place. From the text line, I cannot believe we've arrived here. Y'all talk like there will never be another quarterback again. Watson, the last quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Hey, laughable. We'll just wait 16 more years. It's no big deal, show. It ain't no big deal.
I was going to say, really? We don't need to run through the list of quarterbacks that have rolled through Houston before Deshaun Watson. Like, you're lying to yourself. The reason why you are responding the way you are, whether you're responding with sit his ass at home or trade his ass, I'm done with him, or you because you know how good he is. Don't act like you just know quarterbacks grow on trees. This isn't Green Bay where you've had Brett Favre handed off to Aaron Rodgers. This isn't Indianapolis where you've had Peyton Manning handed off to Andrew Luck. No.
Oh, you didn't know, Show? You didn't know how easy it is to find a franchise quarterback? It's simple, man.
Sit here with Tom Savage up here talking about this thing. Listen, Clint's been better than half the quarterbacks that have rolled through here in Houston.
That's our captain, baby.
Just being honest here. He's been having you and act like
Clint.
You're going to act there and say, oh, they grow on trees. Quarterbacks grow on trees, my ass. That's why the Carolina Panthers are willing to give up every single asset that they have to get Deshaun. Are you kidding me?
Hell, Show, the Jaguars haven't even ever had one in their entire existence. What are we talking about?
They had Mark Brunell.
They had Mark Brunell. He was pretty good.
They had Byron Leftwich.
He was serviceable.
Huh?
But the Texans outside of Deshaun Watson haven't had guys.
No,
maybe look, Matt Schaub outside of Deshaun Watson that's been better than Byron Leftwich and Brian.
Show you're getting worked up over something silly. Don't let. I mean that doesn't even make sense.
Are we getting there?
That doesn't even make sense.
Quarterback growing trees. Yeah, Zach Wilson, go get it.
I mean, you can be
he's ready.
You can be a Deshaun guy. You can dislike Deshaun. Ultimately, if you watch the game of football, if you watch the Texans play, if you watch the NFL, and your thought is this is no big deal for the Houston Texans to lose a quarterback the caliber of Deshaun, again, whether you like him or not. If you think it's no big deal to lose the talent, a quarterback the caliber of Deshaun Watson, as if you're just going to replace him, then I don't know what rock you've been under, man. I don't know what you're watching and how you arrive at a place where you think finding a quarterback that is a good enough leader and physically gifted enough for 10 years to never have a worry. If your goal is to go to a Super Bowl, if you sign Deshaun Watson for 10 years, if you can keep him happy for 10 years, which the Texans pretty much would have, right? 8 years, 9 years? You would have had zero problems, zero concern at the number one most important position in all of professional sports.
Easy.
You would have not had any concerns.
You had the perfect guy. The perfect guy that anyone would dream for.
That's it.
The perfect guy.
You would have had to worry about what was going on around him. You know, your O-line 1 year may need some help. You may get hit by injuries, your defense. But the one thing, the most difficult thing to find in all of sports, you had that figured out.
Who has his head on straight, who wants to help the community, who will do everything he can to do.
That's right.
You had him.
That's
right. And you have effed it up. So why don't you all, some of you, stop asking the question of when is he going to come out, and let's start demanding the question of how the hell did we get here? How the hell did you mess up Derek Jeter? How the hell did you mess up having the perfect athlete that you never have to worry about getting in any trouble but being a model citizen and helping your community? How did you get here? See those questions. Lord, coming up. All right, Clint Sterner. He's going to Clint's football at 4. You don't want to miss this now. He's going to continue to bring it. The Texans, they have to change their course now with Deshaun Watson making his claim to their head coach immediately. It's never been more obvious at this time. Clint will tell you next.
I can get a lot of quarterbacks to run a system.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.